Here with Radio Real Estate for the last day of May 2011. I know there's a lot of Canucks fans out there listening today, waiting for the big game tomorrow. Today we're going to talk about real estate on the island here, and I've got a guest, Brent. Hello, Brent. How are you?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Enjoying this nice day?
Yeah, I was. I was just down watching the track and field. My daughter's doing high jump at the moment.
High jump? Wow, where are they playing? Oh, where's this?
At Portlock Park.
Oh, Portlock. So you've been on the island here for a long time, hey, Brent?
Yeah, I've been on the island about 12 years.
Yeah, and so what business are you in?
I do design and construction on the island for my own company.
And what's the name of your company?
Shibuya Design.
Shibuya Design. See, that was 2 weeks ago on the radio, you sent in a tweet, and I couldn't pronounce it, Shibuya Design. It's not a hard one, but when you read it, it's kind of...
Yeah, it's an interesting word. It's a Japanese word.
It doesn't
really have an English equivalent to it. It's more of a concept.
Right.
It's a derivative like wasabi.
Okay.
It's not great to look at, or sometimes doesn't have a huge appeal, but it's essential and it's beautiful in itself, and it has something hidden inside that you'd never suspect from its outside appearance.
So it's sort of
an elegance that comes from its simplicity.
Kind of like Japanese landscaping, the whole idea of the whole hidden garden almost within.
Hey? Yep, correct.
And so that's the name of your company. Well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because that kind of describes a lot of the understated properties on Salt Spring.
Well, yeah, you always want to have a little bit of magic, right? You want to have something that catches an eye, but somebody has to look a little bit closer to see exactly what they're looking at.
Right, it's not this big, huge, ostentatious castle sitting there right on the road. It's hidden back down a long driveway, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that describes a lot of the places on Salt Spring.
Well, I mean, you move onto an island like this, you don't want to be the one that stands out like a sore thumb. You want to be the one that sort of blends in and adds to the island's elegance, as opposed to
yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about Salt Spring Island is that all the homes are so much different than the city, where, you know, you drive down a road, you can see everything, they're all the same. Here, it's all hidden, kind of. People want to drive around and see real estate, and it's like, you won't see anything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you see the signs on the side
of
the road.
Yeah, you know, it's all hidden down long driveways, or you can actually see more from the water or air, I think, than you can from driving around.
Yeah. Well, last summer we had the hang glider stay at my in-laws' parents, and we went up hang gliding with them.
Did you really?
My kids and myself all went for a little tandem on hang gliding. But from up there on their launch pad,
right,
you can see all the Fulford Valley. You can see all their houses, and it's pretty incredible up there.
Where's the launch pad up on Mount Erskine?
Yeah, right by the power, the big transmitter towers up on the top of the hill.
On which mountain?
You go up Isabella Point and then out to the very out to the bend at the up
Musgrave.
Musgrave, and then you just keep heading up the hill until you get to the towers.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know where that is. Yeah. Okay, that's up Bruce, isn't it?
Bruce.
Right. Okay. So then you fly from there all the way down over the Fulford Valley.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow, that must be quite a ride.
Well, after I stopped screaming, it was quite the ride.
Well, the first 10 seconds must be freaky.
Well, it's that the 6 steps until you off the launch pad there.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. I've never tried it. That would be pretty cool to try. Is it pretty safe?
Yeah, you're really strapped in. There's a second safety line in case something goes wrong. And you're given the great instructions that I'm going to say it's time, and you take 3 steps and just off you go.
Wow, that's really cool. Now, that's the interesting thing about Salt Spring. There is a lot of things that happen on the island. And, you know, it's getting the message out that we do have a lot of things happening on the island. I mean, that's a good example of an event. Was it an event? Was it the...
Well, the hang gliding club comes and stays on the property every August long weekend.
Oh,
they've been
cool.
Doing it for the last 35 years, I think.
Wow.
So it's been a long time standard that they come out for that weekend, and they camp out, and then
right.
They go up, and usually they'll take one of the family members up for a tandem. And last year we got lucky that it was my son Jonah and Ella, my daughter, and myself that went up.
Wow. So that's pretty freaky, though, still.
Well, yeah, I think that an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old at the time, or a 10-year-old, they had no fear, just jumped right in and off they went.
And, of course, you had no fear.
There was a wee bit. But it was kind of neat. They videotaped the whole thing.
Really?
So you get to actually look back at your face at the whole time. And there was definitely the terror in the eyes. And then all of a sudden there was just awe and inspiration. And you were just enjoying it.
Floating, hey? That is really cool. So today we're going to talk about... I know, construction. I mean, Salt Spring has kind of the reputation that it just costs a lot of money to build here. You have to be a multimillionaire to build a house or to remodel a house. Is that true? Like, you have to have just bags and bags and bags of money?
Well, it'd be nice. But no, I don't think that's true. I think the cost of construction here is pretty similar to the cost of construction anywhere in the province.
It is, eh?
Yeah. People have to shop around.
Because I noticed that when I bought stuff for my house at Slag matched Home Depot price on almost everything. I mean, the price of material, cement or anything, was marginally different than anywhere else. I mean, it was fairly similar. Wood was almost the exact same price. Everything. There was no huge material cost difference.
No, and I said that to a lot of people. The cost of construction is never in the actual materials and the labor unless you're really not thinking when you're planning this out. And if you take the time before you even get started to make the plans and to stick to the plans and not get off of your track, the cost of construction is pretty limited. I mean, it's not going to change. You're going to know beforehand what your budget is.
Right.
It's when you start making quick decisions at last minute or want to move this or change this or I'm going to do this. That's when things start to really cost and the budgets start to fly out the window.
Especially if there's a shear wall involved or an engineer or if... I mean, that's when it just goes crazy.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to move a little window and all of a sudden, well, that little window is a shear wall and, you know, that's when things go crazy.
Well, it's like going back to the drawing board again. You've got to go back to the plans. You have to have too many bodies take a look at it before you can actually do anything. And it stops production and it stops flow. And builders that up until this year have been really busy and you have to stop, pull guys off of a site to get them back onto a site again. It's going to be a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was having a coffee this morning with a builder and we were talking about that exact same thing that, you know, a few years ago I worked for a construction company on the island here about 10 years ago and on Sunday the owner would come over and she'd say, oh, I really don't like this wall here. I want it over there. And then, you know, we'd move it. And then the next week she was liable to say, well, you know, I did like it kind of maybe better back over there. And she didn't realize it was like a whole week and she wanted us to reuse all the 2x4s. And so by the time we took it all down, pulled all the nails, reused it, I mean, it was a major production, you know. Moving one wall cost her thousands of dollars.
Well, and when you talk to an owner and you're trying to explain that this is going to cost them a lot of money, they don't see that. They only see that it's only a few sticks and away you go. Why don't you just take care of this for me?
Right. And in some ways, if you stick to your design, and it's, you know, you find that the more complicated the design, the more it costs. Is that the general?
Generally, yeah. There's no way around that. I mean, if you're going to build a rectangle with a standard gable roof, it's going to be pretty inexpensive to put up. But as soon as you start getting into neo angles and round walls and complete glass storefront type walls and
that's what drives up the price. Hey?
Yep, engineered steel putting through the place or even engineered beams. All of this starts to compound the cost of your construction.
Now, what does that mean, engineered steel beams? Can you explain that to a layman? What does that really mean?
Well, it means you're looking at an enormous span, something that wood can't do by itself. So you look at either a steel beam to carry the wood timbers.
So let's just say we had, you know, I'm building this house, and the outside I had this big view, and I wanted all these windows, and I just said, well, just put in like 10 windows. And then that's when you'd have to...
Start looking at engineered properties in the materials that you're using because the span is overspanding. You've got a load coming from your roof. You've got a load coming from your floors. And somehow that's got to all be able to carry that load as well as the windows. And when you have your party and everybody's dancing. So you have a dead load and a live load. And you've got to try and figure this all out. And As a designer, I do a lot of drawings and I do a lot of planning, but I don't have the ticket or the education to engineer those beams. So I would have to take the drawings to a professional engineer and have them engineer it.
And so then all of a sudden he's going, and would he make changes on the plan at that point?
He'll make changes on the plan at that point.
Where he'll add some things or spec certain things like a steel beam or...
Exactly.
You know, extra pylons underneath, or will they have stuff like that too?
Well, all of the above, and generally, you're looking at a number of different aspects that he'll be engineering into the plans that'll be coming out in the construction plans. Your design plans may stay the same, but your construction, your actual ones that are on the site that the contractors are using, will be different. And then on top of that, instead of just having the building department come out and having a look at it to move the project forward, you've got to have the engineer come out and stamp it and sign off on it as well. So now you've got another layer of people who have to approve it before you can keep the project chugging along.
Well, and then the thing is, let's say we get the house half up and I sit in the kitchen where the kitchen's going to be and I say, well, you know, I'm looking right at that tree. Can we move everything over a couple feet? Then you can't just do that. You'd have to go back to the engineer and the building department too. Is that right?
Correct.
Oh, and then that takes time. It's just not just a matter of moving a little.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have to necessarily go to the building department. You'd definitely have to go to the engineer.
And he'd have to sign off.